Hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, good morning. Welcome in to the Action Line from News Radio WGNS. A very rainy day. For those of you catching us on Big G TV, lots of rain on the radar. And, of course, downtown studios drenched here this morning. Lots of rain falling. But we've got some great things to talk about here today. And we're going to talk about those with our friend, property assessor Rob Mitchell, who is joining in studio. Did you have a wet ride in this morning?
Oh, it was a nice ride. It was.
You didn't have the top down today, though, did you?
No. Today was not a convertible day, nor sunroof day.
Yeah, most certainly. Rutherford County property assessor. Do you have to explain what your job is to a lot of people?
Yeah, they say tax assessor, and that's not correct.
The tax man? Do you get that all the time?
We just do values. We determine what the value is on a property and the classification of the property. And it's the county commission and the county mayor that set the tax rate based upon what they want to spend. So we establish a value for all the property in Rutherford County. The assessed value right now is about $16.5 billion, and that's a tax base. So as they determine what they want to buy, they will have to come up with a rate on the property taxes to levy against every property in Rutherford County. Now, that tax rate is uniform. So once they levy that tax rate, it generates a base of income that they can then layer on top of. Currently, property taxes account for about 34% of the revenue for Rutherford County. The primary source, I believe, is sales tax that is collected by the state and then sent back to the county.
Interesting. I bet a lot of people would have thought it would have been the opposite of that. But I don't know that we think about sales tax that often.
No, sales tax is tremendous. And you know that there is an imbalance when your property tax revenue starts to encroach on 50%. It should never be more than a third to 40%. When it gets beyond that, that's an over-reliance on the citizens to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. A healthy economy like what we have, it's primarily through sales tax. I believe somewhere around $500 million comes from the state in return sales tax. About 8% of the revenue that is returned to counties in Tennessee comes to Rutherford County in sales tax. 14% goes to Davidson County.
Wow. So that's why having events, you know, people coming in, spending their money from Manchester, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's really going to put a drain on Coffee County since they had to cancel Bonnaroo. Because they were relying on the sales tax revenue to come in. And that sales tax revenue will not be there. So that could potentially be problematic for Coffee County that relies on Bonnaroo as a major source of revenue through sales tax.
You know, I don't know that really think about that part of it. You know, the organizers of the event, well, they had insurance on that.
Yeah,
you know, right. And so they're going to cover their costs with that. But, you know, a municipality, you're not going to do that, are you?
You're not. You have no way to make up that shortfall except for drawing out of reserves and taking a look at the source of revenue that you can control. And really the only source of revenue that beyond fees, but fees are generally user fees, and that can go up or down depending on the actions of the citizens. If you put a user fee on something, then if they're not using or not doing that activity, you don't collect a fee on it.
Yeah.
But on property taxes, that is every person's share of the operation of local government. So that is the base that you can build off of. In maintenance of effort, that becomes critically important because there are certain things by statute that require a maintenance of effort to be performed by local jurisdictions in order to receive approval from the state on their budgets. So the only way that you can ensure maintenance of effort is through the property tax, because there is a value on property. You know what that is. It stays the same for 4 years, outside of additions with new construction and development. It remains relatively stable. We have about a 3 to 5% increase in market value every year in Rutherford County with new additions coming in. So we're vibrant, we're growing. It does bring along stress, but we just do the value. If the value is at question, call our office. We just finished up county boards, which is the appeal process. Every year in June, county boards are held. The members of the County Board of Equalization, in the first step of the appeal process on the value of your property, they are selected by the county commission, and they are citizens from the community that have applied to serve. They are independent of the assessor's office. Our office is simply there to provide guidance if they have a question about something, to provide the information in an unbiased manner. Whether it's constitutional, whether it's statutory, we'll provide the statutes to them without leading any interpretation to those statutes so that they can make an informed decision. We are very lucky on our Board of Equalization because we do have someone on the board that is an attorney. He's retired, but he is a constitutional attorney that actually worked for Hospital Corporation of America in Washington, D.C. for many years.
Wow.
So when it comes to issues of the law, he is very adept at being able to interpret the statutes to the rest of the board. We'll just present him with the information, as we do everybody, and he generally will render his opinion on what he thinks the intent is in the statute. So that's been very helpful, and Rutherford County is blessed and fortunate to be able to do that. We are one of the few counties that actually makes decisions on large industrial things, industrial appeals at the local level. Many just pass it on to the state board, which is an additional expense for the taxpayer because they have to pay a fee when they go to the state board to appeal. Local level is free. Everybody can access it.
When property assessments are done, let's say in a municipality, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, Eagleville, do they base their property tax off of the same county assessment? There's no Murfreesboro tax assessment.
No. There is one for the entire county. It's a constitutional officer position that was assessors became constitutional officers in 1968, I believe it was. 73, there was a constitutional convention that changed the constitution, but they've been constitutionally elected officers. There will be some old, I think that was in 78. Let me correct myself. I believe that was 1978 that they actually became constitutional officers. But there is only one for the entire county. That way when, and each municipality shares in the operation of the office. So when, since you have multiple taxing jurisdictions inside of a city limits, it would be cumbersome if you had a city assessor who set a value that might differ from what the county assessor would for the county purposes. So it's much simpler to have one and both use it and both contribute to the operations of the office.
You had the 8 right. 78 is
78.
You got that.
It's early. I've only had 3 cups of coffee.
I understand. I had to use the old Google machine here, but 1978 when that came about. What happened before then?
Before then, they were appointed, I believe, by the county commission.
Okay.
And there were city assessors, but it became cumbersome because there were times that there were conflicts in the values, and it didn't make any sense. why one jurisdiction would have a valuation a certain way and the city might have a different valuation. So as far as simplification of the process, it's better just to have one and have everyone contribute to the operation of the office. So a parcel in the city of Murfreesboro, for example, or the city of Smyrna, or the town of Smyrna, or the city of Laverne or Eagleville, every parcel in their jurisdiction, the county pays for the cost to assess that by one half, and the city pays the cost to assess that property by one half. And Michael Smith, the finance director, sends a bill off to their municipality. Some of them are on an annual basis. Some of them are on a four-year basis. And they reimburse the county for the expenses that were incurred.
Okay. Interesting. Didn't know how that all happened. But, you know, if you live within one of the city or town limits that are mentioned, you pay a county property tax and a city or town property tax.
Right.
And they base their property tax rate off of the value of the properties, I'm assuming, right?
Off the value of the properties and the assessed value. Tennessee has a fractional classification where residential property is, and this happened in 73, where residential property is assessed for taxation at a preferred classification of 25% of its appraised value. Commercial industrial property is assessed at 40% of its appraised value. Utilities are at 55% of their appraised value. Tangible personal property like desks and chairs, that's at 30% of their value. And it's on an annual depreciated basis because a business will turn in a schedule. This is the equipment that we have. These are the fixtures that we have. It was listed the previous year. There's an automatic depreciation that is put on it by statute that a certain classification would be depreciated on an annual basis. And then that's what you base your tangible personal property taxes off of.
So the chair you're sitting in has a value.
It has a value for tax purposes. It sure does.
I'm glad they don't do that with what's inside the home, I guess.
Well, technically, the Constitution says that the state can assess that. Yes, they have statutorily said that for assessment and tax purposes, it has no value. But the Constitution and state law does call for the assessment for tax purposes of your personal goods, of the goods in your bank. They are statutorily said to have no value. At any point in time, a General Assembly could change their mind. I'm really kind of pleased that it looks like next year the citizens will be able to vote on removing the state's ability to levy a property tax. Currently, it does have that ability, but they have set the tax rate for state tax purposes to zero. So they're not collecting it. They're not levying it, but they can. They have just set the rate for more than 60 years at zero.
Mm.
But next year, there will be a constitutional question. We've had some great support from our local legislators at the General Assembly that have supported this. You and I and every citizen in the state of Tennessee, one of the ballot measures will be to eliminate and change the Constitution in such a way that the state will no longer have the authority or the ability to levy a state-collected property tax. And I think that's very important. It's like saying, we don't have a Ferrari, even though there's one parked in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, well, I don't drive it, so I don't really have it. Those are two different things. You have it, and you choose not to drive it. Is different than not having it at all
in the garage whatsoever. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if it is constitutionally voted on by Tennesseans, and then that Ferrari is not in the garage, to ever put that Ferrari back in the garage would be a monumental task.
That is right.
It's you would just, have to get everybody to vote for adding that as a tax. Who's going
right.
to do that?
That's right. It wouldn't be very... So once we get rid of it, it's gone. It's like the state income tax.
Yeah.
We made sure it's never coming back. This is another overreach of government to get into the citizens' pockets that we are now going to be able to eliminate forever.
The 615-893-1450. Maybe you have a question, comment with Rob Mitchell. He is our property assessor and our guest here this morning. Do have several more questions I want to ask you about property taxes. And one of those is I continue to hear people talk about why do you... or your property is the only thing that you pay taxes on again and again and again, year after year, year after year. Why isn't that a tax that's done one time when you buy the home and that's it? Have you heard that before?
Well, we hear that all the time. You have to think of it differently. If everyone is getting on to, you're taking a trip over spring break to Florida, and a bunch of your friends get together, and you get into the car, and you know that there's going to be certain expenses required to get from Murfreesboro to Pensacola or to Daytona Beach or to Key West, wherever it is that mm-hmm. you're going to go. So everyone says, hey, I'll pay my portion of the gas. Here's my money. Now, fill up the tank. And then you go until you have to fill up again. And everybody pays their fair share of the gasoline necessary to get you back to Florida and back home. So in government, there are certain services that have to be run. Every citizen, everyone living in a county is going to pay their fair share. If you rent, you're paying property taxes through your rent. It's collected in the rent that you pay to the owner of the property, and that
because the owner of the property pays
for the taxes, property. He pays for it. It's the tenant that bears the cost of that through the rent, and then they pay it. If you have a business like WGNS, the assets, the physical property, because the Constitution says it will be assessed for tax purposes. So they place a value on the assets and they levy the tax based on the value of it. In essence, they're assuming if you have more assets, you have more ability to make those payments. You're potentially wealthier or using more services. That's the theory. So it's based on what you actually use. Another way of looking at it is if you and I and someone else is going out to eat, usually the waitress will say, will this be on one check? And it's easier for the waitress. Say, well, yeah, but I'll pay for my portion. I'll pony up. And I order a steak and you order a cheeseburger. And somebody else orders surf and turf. It would be unfair to split that equally three ways because I got a steak, you got a cheeseburger, and somebody got surf and turf. So based on the value of that meal that you actually consume, the actual meal ticket, your fair share, would be broken down. Person that got surf and turf is going to pay more of that bill. Person that got steak will pay a little bit less, and the person that has the hamburger, the cheeseburger, will pay a smaller amount based on what they actually have. So splitting it equally three ways wouldn't work to pay the bill for the meal that everybody enjoyed. Everybody has to pay their fair share. So that's kind of a way of looking at why we have property taxes.
So let me kind of go back to something you mentioned about businesses and that that chair, for instance? Yes. Who puts the value on that?
That's determined by the General Assembly, and they say this is, and I'm sorry, I don't know the particular breakdowns of personal property classes. Sure. Everything's kind of different. But it's whatever it costs new. And then there's a depreciation schedule that comes down with it. So you self-report. It's like the IRS, where you turn in and you say, this is how much I owe. Mm-hmm. This is how much I made. This is what the taxes are going to be on that. So you'll say, well, when I bought this chair, it was $500. Next year, it will depreciate down to maybe $450, maybe $400. And then over a period of time, it will depreciate down to a residual value, which is somewhere around 10 to 15% of its original price.
And it stays there no matter how long.
And it will stay there.
Okay.
That's a depreciated value on it. So it'll stay that way once it depreciates down. At that point, if you get rid of it and you throw it out, you simply mark on your schedule, I no longer have this. It's gone. You mark it out, you start over new. Well, you replaced it with something, maybe, or maybe you didn't. You just got rid of it. So you would deduct that from your schedule. So that's kind of how that works right there. It's self-reporting.
So do you go through every office? You know, just take this place, for instance, and you have to put a value on everything that's here, huh?
Mm-hmm. Everything wow. that's in there. If you believe that the value of your property is the total amount is less than $10,000, the state allows you to check $10,000, and that's the amount that you're going to pay on. And there's another one that is, I believe it's $2,500. They just changed that recently, and I haven't kept up with that as well as I should. It was $1,000 for a year. Now they've changed it. They give you two classifications. I think it's $2,000 or $2,500 that you can check for small accounts, and you just pay based on that. The state requires that these be audited. The state picks the accounts that are going to be audited, and we hire a company that will come out and will come and we'll look to see, all right, where is the stuff that you have here? And they'll put it down on a list, and they'll ask how, when you got it and how much it was, and they'll add it up to see if it's accurate or not. If it's not accurate, then they'll send an assessment out to reassess. If it's over, if you think you have more stuff than you actually have, they'll send a correction out, and you'll get a refund back from the trustee.
Interesting. Very interesting. 615-893-1450 is our number. We've got a text. I think we also have a call this morning. You're on with the property assessor, Rob Mitchell.
Yeah, Rob, this is an old Woodbine guy. This is Roger Thomas. How you doing, man?
Hey, Roger, doing well. Somebody from Flat Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we worked at the same place back in the day. People don't realize that. But hey, I got a question. This is a senior question.
Sure.
Okay, like, for example, retired. You're on a fixed income. Is there anything in the works, maybe a freeze on property tax? Because, you know, we don't get much, like, raises or cost of livings and all that. And is anything in the works like it, maybe a freeze for property tax on seniors down the line?
Well, that's a good question. And it's even more salient right now because I just heard in the news driving home yesterday on WGNS that they're talking about the fund that is the trust fund for Social Security is maybe going to run out sooner, which would trigger a 20% reduction in the payments made to seniors, which is very troubling. For me especially. Now, Tennessee does have currently two programs that are in place. One is a tax relief program that has been around since 1973, and that's administered by the trustee's office. And the way that works is if you own your home and if you make less than, I believe it's $36,000 a year, I'd have to check the trustee's website to figure that out for sure, then you'll get a reimbursement on a portion of your property taxes. Some calculations I did last year, and forgive me for not being up on the current number, I think you will, the state will pay on your behalf about $75 or $78, which is not much, but it's better than nothing. The other program is a senior tax freeze that if you make, I believe it's less than $46,000 a year, somewhere in that range, or it may be 48. I think they just raised it to 60. I think they raised it to 60,000 this last, I believe the county commission voted on that. So if you make less than 60,000 as a family, everybody in the family that is on your property record, your deed, then you were permitted to have your taxes frozen. So you will pay no more in property taxes. They'll be frozen at whatever amount that you're at. If they go down because the county lowers the tax rate, then you're locked in at that lower rate. Okay. Now, I have proposed something that actually it started at WGNS here one morning when I was talking with Scott Walker about getting rid of the property taxes if you're over the age of 65 and having them reimbursed.
Well, that'd be a good one.
I call it the golden homeowner. I think he helped me pick the name on it. and the way that would work, instead of having an income requirement, which some people may make more, they may make just over that amount because it takes a lot of money to live these days, and they would be disqualified. They wouldn't be able to freeze their taxes. So I think that it would be wise to recognize that the people that have built the community, who have lived in Tennessee for 20 years or more, and are over the age of 65, that the state expand the property tax relief program that is already in place. So we wouldn't have to pass a new constitutional amendment or anything to get that to work because it's already there. It just eliminate the income requirement on it and let the state reimburse the counties and the cities that portion of property taxes that would have been generated by the people that have lived here. So the cities and counties don't lose anything, but it would take away some of the annual surplus at the state level, which I think I read somewhere it's about $2 billion in annual recurring surplus that the state of Tennessee has, and it would shift that back to the local communities. It would shift it. It would permit you know, a senior over the age of 65 that's lived here all of his life and paid property taxes to be able to age in place, to be able to afford their medicine, to be able to help their grandchildren or great-grandchildren get a leg up.
Exactly
because right now in Rutherford County, it would take a tremendous amount of time for the average person making the median income to be able to afford the median-priced home because property values have gone up so much. You know, so I think that's something that we need to, Representative Mike Sparks is very passionate about this. He's passionate about helping people, as are all of our legislative delegation. You know, and I think it's something that I'm glad that you called and asked about that because it is something that I think is important. Everybody wants a new program, but everybody tends to forget often about the people that the programs are meant to help.
Well, man, I appreciate that. I didn't know some of that. Some of that I'd heard. But, yeah, man, I appreciate those answers. That sounds promising. So, hopefully, you know, like I said, I think we're – I'm not going to give your age, but I'm 70, okay? So, anyway, it's
– I'm closing in on you.
It's a little bit of a – it's a little bit of a struggle sometimes, you know, because like I said, all those things you have, you have your grandkids, in my case, great-grandkids, you know, and all that, and then – you know, and then time is just nothing. Well, I ain't got anything left for me. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
So, anyway, really appreciate you, Rob. Doing a great job, man. And,
I appreciate you.
And look it off and listen to the rest of your show.
Great. Thanks, Roger. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. That's Roger joining. By the way, the income limit for the applicant, spouse, and all others on the deed, $61,920 for 2024. That's the latest information.
Good deal.
That's
for the tax freeze.
Yeah. And apparently it was $60,000 in 2023 because that's the video with Ted Beatty standing there. So that can be adjusted every year, I guess, right?
It goes up based on the median income of the county.
Okay.
So as the median income of the county increases, that will go up as well.
Gotcha, yeah. And 65 or older on or before the end of that particular tax year.
Right. Okay. And they do have to come, you have to come every year and verify your income.
Okay.
With Golden Homeowners, you just have to verify your age. That you've been here for 20 years.
We've got a text question that we'll get to here in just a second. We've got to take a break here, but 615-893-1450. Rutherford County Property Assessor Rob Mitchell is our guest here this morning. Here is a look outside on Big G TV. It's raining. The rain continues here this morning, and we'll have more of that as we go along here today. Stay with us.
Everything is more expensive these days. If high prices are dragging down your summer plans, would a little extra cash help? If you join Heritage South Community Credit Union and open your first account by June 30th, you could win $1,500 to fuel your summer fun. Plus, we're giving away great prizes every week. Now is the perfect time to learn why we say we help when others won't. Learn more at heritagesouth.org. Limited time offer, restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Since 1989, Franklin's Printworks has been Rutherford County's trusted partner for high-quality printing with fast turnaround and unbeatable service.
We love to do stuff for the community, for churches, for schools, for nonprofits. We love to get involved with them and partner with them every time we can.
Jeff Carlton with Franklin's Printworks.
People know my name, they have my cell phone number, and they can be confident that we'll make sure it gets done right.
Visit PrintworksTN.com. Franklin's Printworks, print local, print with confidence.
That brisket came from your cow, right?
Yep, raised her, named her, thanked her, and now she's dinner.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, at Lane Agro Park in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard.
Life changes, then it changes again. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. A job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Let's work together to help make sure that you're equipped for life's unexpected events. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. Even though it's early, don't let fleas and ticks get the jump on your pet. Here at Animal City, we stock a full variety of products to keep your pet protected, safe, and comfortable. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
Good morning. A wreck being moved over to the side, 24 westbound in Hickory Hollow Parkway, trying to get up through Antioch, starting to build some nasty thunderstorms moving through Middle Tennessee, especially south of Nashville, affecting certain interstates in certain counties like 65 coming up from Murray County's running slow up into Williamson. 24 also being affected as you leave Murfreesboro on 24 westbound, headed up through the Antioch area, trying to head towards Davidson County from Rutherford County's been a challenge. Prince's Hot Chicken karaoke tonight at the Tanger location. Check out that menu throughout the day and order at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Partial sunshine develops here this afternoon. We'll see high into the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low near 66. Friday, sunny high of 90. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 68.
The Action Line is brought to you by Powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who has tools and tips to help members manage their energy use, learn more about electric vehicles, pay your bills with the MyMTE app. They're continuing to make new ways, better ways to serve you at MTE, soon to celebrate 90 years.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Our Rutherford County Property Assessor, Rob Mitchell, joins us here in studio and a couple of text questions. This may be just more of a comment, but land tax is BS, okay? A person never owns their place. My place has been paid for 10 years and still costs me $200 a month to live in my home. That's from 0680, but that's the sentiment from some.
Well, and I can understand that, especially when we have questionable expenditures. Some people will question some expenditures. I get it. Every time I get my tax bill, I cringe too, because it's really a struggle sometimes for people to look and say, you know, what am I actually getting for the taxes that I pay? A lot of the stuff you don't see. You don't see the administration at the courts. You don't see public safety unless something happens to you. You don't see solid waste unless you have to take your trash off. There's so many different things that happen in government that it just takes to keep the system of government moving forward and providing the services that everybody needs. And I think our county commission does a tremendously good job at doing that, by and large. I think sometimes it's a little frustrating when you don't see the amount of citizen feedback that you would like to have. We instituted a program called Smart Rutherford, which my office and the developer is set to go to the International Association of Assessing Officers annual conference to present Smart Rutherford as an innovation and a best practice. Currently, we're the only assessor's office in Tennessee or in the entire United States that has an app that you can go to on our website, or you can actually use Alexa to access it. And you can ask about your property assessments. You can ask about where to get your car tags renewed. You can ask who your county commissioner is and their contact information. You can ask who your state representative is. You can even find out TDOT, Tennessee Department of Transportation, has voluntarily requested to partner with Smart Rutherford to provide you with information regarding the closest projects in a proximity to your home. So if you want to know about the Leanna and Thompson Lane project, which is on TDOT's website and is available through Smart Rutherford, you can look that up and you can be kept informed of the progress on it. This is an innovation that nobody else offers. And I think it's important, with as fast as Rutherford County, as fast as we're growing, that our new citizens, as well as our current citizens, find out about changes in government in a way that they're becoming accustomed to reacting. Everyone these days connects through a smart device or through their desktop computer or through a tablet or a laptop. If government doesn't adapt to the realities of how people choose to communicate and gather their information, we'll continually be playing catch-up. And when you play catch-up, it's always more expensive. We're able to provide this for $9,000 a year. Wow. It's all it costs. Mm-hmm. There is no more efficient way of communicating to the citizens of 388,000 in Rutherford County than Smart Rutherford. And if any business wants to have that widget code to put on their website, we're happy to give it to them. The information is out there. We're not going to say the information you want is in that haystack. Here's your haystack. Go find it. We've actually got something that will go in and look at it for you. It will search all the way through county government and any local government or state government that wants to participate.
Rob, Cassie asked, let's see, what's the best? Wondering about the state taking over the property assessor's office. Can you talk anything about? I'm kind of paraphrasing here what is said. So
yeah, I mean that's. I can't say too much because it is part of an active court case. It has been mischaracterized for various reasons that I won't go into. Anything that says that contemplates that is factually incorrect, and that's all I can really say on it. It's not true.
There is a question from Amber as well, and Amber's question is, sometimes these are really long, and I'm trying to pick out the key part of it, but pretty much saying that they don't necessarily agree with their assessment of the property. Mm-hmm. What should they do?
Well, that's the appeals process. I'll tell you, I don't agree with mine either a lot of the time when I look at it, but that's what the market says. But if there's any question that you have, call us. We don't get everything right. Nobody does. And if it's not right, we'll look at it and we'll make a correction to it. If it's, you know, and we'll take care of that. If it's just an opinion on the market value, then that's something that, I mean, that's an opinion you'll have to go before the appeals process. We can correct factual, tangible errors. Square footage is wrong. We can correct that. That's not a problem. We can do that anytime. If you say, well, my house would never sell for that, well, that's a difference. That's an actual opinion. Mm-hmm. So the appeals process, first two weeks of June, the county board meets and make an appointment. They've recessed right now for June. I believe they have one date that they will reconvene to hear proration valuations, people that bought a new house and something changed on it and they weren't able to come in. And I don't know what that date is off the top of my head. I know it's within the first 2 weeks of August. The county board sets that. I don't have any say in it. So whenever they want to meet, they meet.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you know, Rob, I think our time is up. I will try to ask Patsy's question off air, and I'll type it in to Patsy here.
Sure.
A second.
I'll do this too. My cell phone number is 615-426-7373. That's my personal cell. If you have a question, text it to me, and I promise you I'll respond. I'll give you an honest answer and let you know how to best address your issue. If you just want to tell me I'm crazy, that's fine too. I get that all the time. I have kids.
Property assessor Rob Mitchell, our guest this morning on the Action Line. Thanks, Rob, for braving the rain. Thanks for our call and our texters this morning as well. The Action Line from the MTE Studios.